Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
This is January 12th, and this is the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. And welcome back to the Bruins Beat on CLNS Media. My name is Evan Marinofsky. I hope you guys are having a great week. I am so excited. So excited. So amped up that hockey, that regular season meaningful games will be played this week. So the season obviously starts the 13th, which is tomorrow if you're listening to this on Tuesday when it drops. But the Bruins start on January 14th, Thursday at 7 p.m., in New Jersey, and then January 16th, again against New Jersey at 1 p.m. Then they go to Long Island to play the Islanders the 18th, and then return home on the 21st for the home opener against the Flyers. I am so pumped because, I mean, as a city, as a state, as a country, as a world, we've been through so much over the past 7 months, and to have this little bit of normalcy. I know obviously it's not a normal season. There's no fans there. Everyone's going to be wearing masks. You know, as media members, there are some games we might not be at. But just to have it be played in home barns and teams somewhat traveling. And obviously, again, some teams will miss games because of COVID, or, you know, guys will miss games because of COVID. But it just feels like a little bit more normal. That tiny sense of normalcy is kind of coming back in this sense. And that's why I'm so excited for this. I'm also so excited for the coverage aspect of it, you know, chatting with you guys every week, you know, talking to you guys via Twitter or Facebook or YouTube comment sections or however. And speaking of YouTube, I'd love to, you know, invite everyone to go subscribe to Bruins Rinkside on YouTube. There is content going up there pretty much all day for the past week, and it will be until the season ends. But there is, you know, every post-game press conference or every just press conference that the Bruins have in general. So there's player interviews, there's full podcasts, there's you know, analysis videos that we do. I think right now it's at about 260 subscribers at the time of recording. So when it hits 400, I plan on doing more live podcasts, more Q&As that Connor, Ryan, and I will do, who's on today's episode. So we're going to interact. We want to interact with everyone. We want to have it become like our own little world, and kind of have it like our own little, fun little Bruins corner that we have. And that's what I'm really looking forward to it being. It's already becoming that. You know, the views have been good. Subscribers growing well. So it's been fun over there. Just make sure to go subscribe to it, because again, I don't want you to miss out on the fun, and sort of all the content that gets put up over there. Because I do think that it's really good, and it's going to be consistent throughout the season. It's always going to be there, so you can count on that. Another thing you can count on is our good friends over at betonline.ag. Are we ready for some football? Are we ready for some football? The answer is, of course, yes. College football might end tonight, or ended on Monday. I'm recording this Monday, but it ended on Monday when you're listening to this. But the NFL playoffs are in full swing. You know, do you want to bet on Brady and the Bucks? Do you want to bet on the Kansas City Chiefs, who are the obvious pick? You know, who are you going to put your money on? And make sure to go do that at BetOnline, because there's only one place that has you covered and one place that I trust, and that's BetOnline. Sign up today for a free account at betonline.ag and use that promo code CLNS50 for your 50% welcome bonus. And then again, I mean, this is a hockey podcast. Go bet on hockey. Right now, obviously, I think the Bruins are top odds in the East. So if you want to, if you're really dying to put money on them, go do it. If you think the Flyers might edge it out, go put money on them. Or Char is going to put the Capitals over the finish line, go bet on them. So go to betonline.ag today and then use that promo code CLNS50 for your 50% welcome bonus. Because again, don't sit on the sidelines anymore. Get in on that action. Again, CLNS50, 50% cashback bonus. BetOnline, your online sportsbook experts. Without further ado, here is my conversation with Connor Ryan. And we're here with Connor Ryan. Connor, what is up?
Evan, we have hockey in just a couple of days now, finally, after spending the last couple of months doing nothing, worrying about Oliver Ekman-Larsson coming to the Bruins and doing trade scenarios and all that fun stuff. We've finally at last reached regular season hockey. So I'm doing splendid. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. I'm right there with you. Just the fact that there is Bruins hockey this week. Real games, not preseason games, not just training camp, which we were very happy was here and we love so very much for all the content it brings. There's real hockey this week. There's games. And I see this episode, this might be the episode I've been most excited for since the trade deadline one of 2020. So we did a trade deadline show back when there, you know, when things were normal. Mm-hmm. I remember being really amped up for that. Like, oh, you know, the Bruins are going to make some big splashes. You know, maybe Tyler Toffoli. And then Tyler Toffoli got traded that night before it even released to the Canucks. But even with that, coming back into the postseason when they came back to return to play, I was excited for that and I was pumped. But this is different because this is a season. This is a full slate of games, not 82. Not 82, and I'm sure when there's a regular 82-game season with fans and COVID is a thing of the past, I'll say this is the most excited episode I've been for an episode since, you know, 2019, but this really is. I'm so excited for this. I'm so excited for what this season will bring, for what happens this season, all the twists and turns, and I couldn't be more excited. So this episode is season preview and predictions, and we've both been at training camp for the past week, and it's been great. It's been so much fun to just be back.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, it's getting back into the swing of things now. It's obviously a little bit different when you got, you know, a mask and you do contact tracing and all that stuff, but you roll with the punches, right? I mean, it's just good to get back and see kind of how the Bruins seem to be, you know, what their thinking is in terms of crafting this roster. Cause I feel like we went into camp with all these different question marks of who's going to fill in where, and more or less they've kind of just roll with the same guys, right? Like, it hasn't really been, all right, one day you got a different guy skating with Bergeron and Marchand or anything like that. It's kind of, they've like set into these roles where it's like, all right, Sonika's going to be with Bergeron. Like, Zaporov's going to skate quite a bit with Kevin Miller. Kevin Miller's going to be healthy and he's going to be the third pairing guy. Like, I think it's probably a byproduct of the fact that the training camp schedule, you know, isn't long at all. So they have to kind of dial in and get these spots figured out in a hurry, but it's just good to see, you know, be back in the building watching hockey again and seeing how they're kind of on the fly kind of sprinting to the starting line for the season, because it's going to be, you know, they have to have multiple guys kind of gelling right away.
You mentioned it. I feel like in some ways, you know, leading up to camp, we were all like, they have no time to figure this out. They got to figure it out fast. I feel like they just threw guys together and said, you're going to figure out how to play together. We don't care if you suck or you're great, you're going to be together. And I feel like the first day, Nick Ritchie was out there with Coyle and Smith, and I remember thinking, oh, maybe that's just because Bjork's in the other group.
Right.
And then I was like, well, they didn't just auto-assign these groups. Cassidy obviously put these together. Right? This, it wasn't just like, you know, it's like we do in street hockey or pond hockey, you throw everyone sticks in the middle, and you throw them to one side or the other. Mm-hmm. So they pretty much stuck with the same guys throughout and kind of let guys develop chemistry, which is something that Cassidy always hasn't been great at in the past, letting guys develop chemistry. And it feels like he's doing that now. So let's get into predictions. So we each have brought three predictions to the table. I don't know what yours are. I don't think you know what mine are. And so this will be a fun surprise for both of us on the predictions we have that are sure to be very right the end of the season. But no one's going to pull
the end of, end of like next week, they're going to be wrong is probably how these usually go.
Yes, this is how they usually go. So I'll start off with a kind of a lukewarm prediction. I wouldn't say this is one that is far-fetched or as, you know, out on a limb as maybe people might want. So I guess I'm going to start very cold and get hot. So you can anticipate, you can look forward to my later predictions.
Cool.
Jack Studnicka forces himself to stay in the lineup even after Pastrnak comes back. Now, I don't mean stays in the, first line right wing. That would be very hot, a very hot take, but I do think he pushes and makes it very difficult to keep the third line together as is and not slot Studnicka in there somewhere.
No, it's, I mean, I think, especially the spot they're giving him right now, as you said, I don't think he's going to be in that spot for the whole season. But as much as it's kind of weird to project, you know, hey, it's your first full season in the NHL, we're going to start you on the top line as being a low pressure spot. It's not, of course. But when you're put in that spot where you got Bergeron and most likely Marchand there with you, it's like a great way to, for a young player to kind of build some momentum. Considering the way that Studnicka plays, the grade A chances are going to be there if he's in that area of the ice, right? So I think for the Bruins, you want to see what that guy can do in that spot. And he's in a good spot to succeed if he just kind of plays the same game he was playing up in Toronto during the bubble playoffs. So, I definitely think that, it's a good problem to have too for the Bruins, right? If Sanika's doing well, Pastrnak's ready to come back, we talk about it all the time. Does Pasta get broken up from that line? Probably not, because we talk about it every single time, right? And it never happens. But if you have Pastrnak back up there and all of a sudden Studnicka's in a role where you can put him on the third line, or, if maybe a guy like Kasha's not, up to par, if you put him there, like there's a bunch of different spots you can put Jack Studnicka in. I wouldn't be surprised if his role expands just beyond. I think everyone, there's probably like the unfair expectations where you expect this guy to be like a Calder Trophy candidate, right? Like, I don't think he should do that. But I think the way the Bruins are building him into the lineup, where I think they're going to be relying on him, even you look at the PK, right? Like, there's still a couple of question marks with that PK unit. And, I mean, Studnicka had, I think, 7 shorthanded goals last year in the AHL. So not like he's going to be doing that up in the NHL level, but I think they view him as a guy who can hold his own in that role, and they're going to need him to. So I wouldn't be surprised if he really carves out a definitive role with this team, even when Pasta gets back.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I think that, as you said, I don't expect him to be a Calder Trophy candidate. Maybe I'll put on my Bruins goggles and, Jack Sadiq is going to be a Calder candidate. But I do think he's going to be effective. I do. And as you said, I think being on that top line to start with Marchand and Bergeron helps out a bunch. So what is your – we'll go back and forth. What's a prediction that you have?
So I don't even know if mine's, too much of a spicy take or too much of a bold prediction, but I think at the deadline, they're still going to swing a trade for a top 4D.
That was one of mine.
damn it. Do you want to take that one? I'll cook up another one.
No, continue. I'll cook
So yeah, I mean, I just think that you look at this team and, as much as people I think are especially very doom and gloom after the Chara news, I think people equated him leaving to like the window being closed. Like, I still think this is a very good team. You've still got a good veteran core. You've still got quite a few guys who are capable of breaking out on this team and pushing this team further. But I think even if a guy like Zboril or a guy like Lozon hold their own, I still think if you're the Bruins, you still need to get that one more piece to put yourself over the top, just to have a veteran guy who can, log you 18 to 20 plus minutes a night and just being a dependable guy back there. Again, if Zboril or Lozon or even Vakanainen, soar over expectations, then it's one less problem to have. But I think if you're the Bruins, I wouldn't be surprised if they look at, a guy who's maybe a pending UFA or anything like that. Like, I still don't think you're going to have Noah Hanifin or one of these guys with term come here just because of the Seattle expansion draft. But, you look at the Bruins and what their weaknesses are, the fact that they've got a good amount of, not good amount, but flexible amount of cap space that they can take on a contract. It seems like inevitable right at this point that they're going to swing a trade for a top 4D. Who's it going to be? I think that kind of remains to be seen, but you just, project this season and this the weaknesses of the roster. It just makes too much sense that they're not going to swing a trade for a guy.
It'll be Victor Hedman. It's funny though. You mentioned that, before when we were doing some show prep, I was looking into guys who are going to be UFAs after this year, who are left to shot defensemen on bad teams. I came up with 3 names. Now, these names have not been rumored. These are just names that I would not be surprised to see the Bruins in on come
April,
March, April, yeah. That time frame. Ryan Murray, left shot defenseman with the Devils. Again, none of these guys are special. None of these guys are coming in and, you know, headlining your team. They're not getting, you know, billboards outside TD Garden.
No.
But they do, they are somewhat reliable.
Yes.
Ryan Murray, Alex Goligoski, a left shot defenseman from Arizona, and Nicklas Hjalmarsson, another left shot defenseman from Arizona. Because I think Arizona probably is not a team that we expect to do a ton of damage. Same with the Devils. And at least, see, the good thing about Murray is he's in the division.
Yes.
So it's, you know, one less
quarantine issue, right?
Yes. So you don't have to, I guess, worry so much about that. Maybe there's less regulations. So those are options. I think those are options. They're not bad. You know, again, has Jacob Zboril's stock ever been higher than after he gets paired with Kevin Miller? And he's, I guess when he got drafted, his stock was pretty high. But,
yeah, exactly.
But I mean, he's out there in the third pairing with Kevin Miller, probably going to start the season, you know, in the lineup, which is not something that we maybe anticipated. So, all could go well on that front, but there's a good chance it doesn't. And there's also a good chance, you know, you can never have too many defensemen, injuries, COVID. I mean, there's so many things.
Yeah. That little thing, COVID.
Remember COVID? I feel like we're forgetting that, like, right now the NBA is like potentially thinking of like shutting down the season for the time being.
Yes.
And there's like, you know, issues they're facing. And there are lots of other, the Canucks, the Stars.
Blue Jackets had to have, I think, 17 guys out. The Kings have had multiple guys out. So, yeah, the Stars is the most severe one, right? They're not literally going to start the season on time. But it's, you know, it's the reality of the situation you're in right now in COVID with cases, you know, skyrocketing. It's one thing where I think if, like, one case was reported back in July when teams are coming back for training camp, I think everyone would be freaking out, right? But that was back in like the summer lull. We can view it as the lull now compared to what.
Yeah, back then we were like, whoa. And now we're looking like, damn, those are the days.
Yeah, exactly. So, yeah, it's going to be, I think, a trial by fire, and I'm sure there's going to be plenty more complications along the way. It's just how you best minimize how much it affects your team.
Yeah, no, that's pretty much what it is. But so, yes, those are three names I think that the Bruins could be in on come March and April. Again, that's just completely looking at a contract status and team. So I don't want to see a tweet at E. Marinofsky is reporting that the Bruins are in on like Alex Goligoski. I'll lose my mind if you do that, which means people are now going to do that because
you're going to get a tweet from at Connor Ryan with two N's. Connor Ryan at three.
Yes, they will say that. The Spoke Z will tweet it. I already know. Anyways, let's get to my next prediction. This is the one. I did not have this initially, but it was a close fourth, so now I'm making it my second. And Cassidy mentioned this the other day, and it kind of got me thinking, and it'd be a fun little prediction. Someone will come off the taxi squad and stick in the lineup. Never know. You never know. And my guess is it's not in the top six. I don't think Paul Carey's coming in or Zach Senyshyn, and they're going to, you know, do crazy damage on the second line. But there's a weird chance that someone misses time on the fourth line. They plug Paul Carey in, and he sticks.
Yep.
I, you know, that's crazy. But there's a chance. There's always that chance that happens. Now, again, we'll learn, I believe, Tuesday who the taxi squad is, or we should at least learn kind of who it is. And obviously, we're recording this Monday night, so we do not know the taxi squad yet. We can assume certain players are on it, certain players are not on it. But I do think that maybe someone comes off the taxi squad and carves out a role with the team. I don't think that's too far-fetched.
No, not at all. I think especially where, you know, if you want to speculate that as long as he doesn't get picked off waivers, like a guy like Senyshyn, who it's kind of an unfortunate situation for him. You know, he gets put on waivers on Monday, and I think everyone's just kind of burying him of like, oh, good pick, everyone. Like, there's that. But also, like, guy looked pretty good up in that third line role last year in November when he was up here. Then he got hurt. And then he comes back this year, and he's got Richie and Kasha and Sadnika and all these other wingers in front of him. It's like, was he going to like leapfrog those guys? I mean, like if he went, you know, bonkers during this training camp, maybe, but like the reality was he wasn't going to do that. Right. So it's kind of an unfortunate situation.
He didn't see any of the hate on Monday. He was at the dentist getting his teeth picked.
Yeah. Yeah. That was like injury to insult, right? Like he get put on waivers and also he gets his teeth knocked out during Monday's scrimmage. So, tough couple of hours for Senyshyn, but as long as he doesn't get picked off waivers, which you could see a team maybe do if, you know, you look at a low cost, you know, low risk, potentially all right reward in terms of a guy who could be a third line guy, especially on a team that doesn't have forward depth, but no, whether it be him or, you know, a guy like Bleed who plays a straight line role that could, you know, roll in on the fourth line. Like, yeah, there's definitely a spot for a few of these guys that if they're needed, and they probably will be in a season like this, they're going to be, you know, crucial to the Bruins' success.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I've never been big on Bleed, but I think a guy like Senyshyn, it's funny, Senyshyn back at the time when he was drafted was thought of as kind of a reach because the Bruins had three straight picks. Yes. They wanted to kind of take someone that was a little off the board. Maybe not the right year to do that, but we've done that. So we have sung that tune so many times. So I will refrain from doing that on a bright day like today of starting a new season. What is your next prediction?
My next one is that even with him out for, could be 2 weeks, could be 3 weeks, I still think Pastrnak leads the Bruins in goals. And again, that's one I think probably people won't think is that shocking, considering that how much of a lion's share of power play time and how much time that top line gets. But I think especially look at the season, right, is, you know, Marchand, who's hopefully able to start the year on time, is he a candidate? You've got Craig Smith, who people think is going to do, you know, a strong job this year, especially with Coyle. DeBrusk is due for a breakout year. Is Kasha, after the amount of shot attempts he gets, is he a guy who could break through? Like, those are all viable candidates, and it wouldn't surprise me if, you know, a guy like DeBrusk or Kasha breaks out. But I still think when you look at, even with, you know, the time off, and the procedure itself, I mean, hip surgery, it's not something you just brush off right and you're good to go. Like, there's going to be a buildup. I think when you look at just the reps he gets, and especially just the way he seems to improve his game every year, like, we've gone from Pasta being a guy who is getting all of his goals in tight to now being a guy who's almost automatic from that left circle, which very few guys can do. So, I still think Pasta's still the guy. He's not going to break the 50-goal mark again. That'd be pretty wild if he did this year of all
the
years.
Yes, he is. Yes, he is. This is the year.
This is the year you're going to call it. So, but I still think when you look at just the reps he gets, that he's still going to be the guy leading the charge.
Imagine the people last year did prediction shows were like, Pastrnak's going to hit 50 goals. And he just, you know, COVID and giving up the goal to Marchand.
The outright Rocket Richard winner because of that. So he's being a good teammate.
Yes. Shake my head. Anyways, I like your prediction. Pastrnak leads the Bruins in goals. I think that's one that is, with the time off, I think that's maybe not super popular prediction. Mine is actually kind of the opposite. I think Jake DeBrusk leads the Bruins in goals. This was something I said. It came to me. I was watching TV one day and this came to me and I was like, this is the year. This is the year. Pastrnak's out to start the season. It's a shortened season. DeBrusk had that inconsistent year last year that he's been talking about this since when we, you know, his end of season in, end of, his exit interview back in, September. This has been a thing that's been talked about quite a bit. He had the new contract. It's kind of a prove me deal.
Yep.
He's got the consistent presence next to Krejci on the right with Kasha, and that seems to probably look like it's probably going to work. So the cards are stacking up for Jake DeBrusk to lead the Bruins in goals. Now, again, I save that for third because I think that's my hottest take, my hottest prediction, but that wouldn't surprise me. And again, like, I think that, you know, he has that potential. He's, you know, he can absolutely be a goal scorer. He's shown, you know, he has no problem scoring goals in the past. And you have your leading goal, you know, your best goal scorer out to start the season. And you have for the first time in your career, to start a season, you have a set second line. The second line is set. You know, you don't have Backes over there. You don't have Kuhlman. You don't have Brett Ritchie. You don't have Rick Nash for 20 minutes. Like, you have Andre Kasha. And I do think that this is the year that Jake DeBrusk leads the Bruins in goals. And it's funny. You think, like, oh, what is he going to score, 40? And it's like, well, no, it's shortened season.
It's like, well, like 18 goals or something like that. Yes. Which, like, yes. Someone's going to be leading the league with like 26 or something like that. And it's going to be like very, you're going to look back on it and just be like,
Like, it's funny that the NHL, I think it was the NHL posted an Instagram post and it was like, will Cale Makar, you know, score like over 50 points or something? And people were like, what? It's a shortened season. Like,
yeah.
Well, probably not.
Something.
A second, my UMass ass was like, oh my God, he's getting 100. But then I was like, actually, never mind. It's a shortened season.
Right. No. I agree with, I think DeBrusk can be right up there too. I mean, it's one thing too where it's not like DeBrusk's style of play is not conducive to being around those areas where he should be, you know, potting these goals, right? I mean, he's at his best when he's in front, you know, getting rebounds or tipping home shots. And I think with Krejci and Kasha, and Cassidy mentioned that he pretty much just wants to stick with that group, which is encouraging to hear in terms of just how many times have we heard David Krejci and the carousel wingers he's had to deal with, right? To finally have kind of a set grouping there, I think should benefit all those guys, and I think especially for DeBrusk, if he's playing his game, he's mentioned that he's put on some muscle that he wants to work on, you know, his board work and stuff like that. And those are kind of the smaller details that can be the difference between a grade A chance and an actual goal, right? So, again, this is a guy who almost got 30 goals 2 years ago. So he knows how to score the goals. It's just putting yourself in those spots more at a more consistent rate, because I think they'd rather him, you know, score every couple of games than, you know, have 3 and 4 games and then all of a sudden he doesn't have a goal in 14 games, right? It's just kind of evening out that production a little bit for him.
So that is that. Those are my three. You still have one left, correct?
One left, yeah. And I'm going with Charlie McAvoy getting legitimate Norris Trophy consideration, which I think, again, it's a tough kind of gig to be in because there's a lot of very, very talented defensemen, not only established veteran guys who've been out there, but you look at Heiskanen and you look at Quinn Hughes and your guy from UMass Lowell or whatever school it was. He's pretty good. You know, it's a stacked field, but I think you look at McAvoy and his game and the responsibilities he's going to deal with this year. I mean, he's probably going to be averaging 24, 25 minutes a night at this point, right? You look at I would imagine Grzelcyk has the first dibs on that first power play unit, but I'm sure McAvoy is going to get more looks there as well. I think, you know, Lozon's probably the guy to start the year, but I think regardless of who it's going to be, I think McAvoy is going to have a lot more freedom to, you know, jump up into the play, to, you know, to be a little more creative with the puck. And I think that's going to do wonders for him because, again, we talk about all the time of how terrible he was last year because he didn't score a goal, even though if you took more than 2 minutes to look at all the rest of his numbers and how good he was, you realize, you know, shouldn't really give a shit about how many goals he scores if he's that good.
No, he sucks. He didn't score a goal until February. The guy blows.
Exactly. So, but regardless, if people who, you know, take the time to, you know, gauge guys beyond goals, I'm sure he'll get more goals out of the gate anyway because he's going to be able to be more confident with the puck because, I mean, I think you saw him down the stretch in the regular season and during the bubble just how much of groove he was in. So, I think with the added responsibilities, again, he's not going to be a guy who, if this was a full 82-game season, he's going to be like a 60-point guy as a defenseman. But I think his what he does defensively in transition at 5-on-5 especially, even if he's a guy who in an 82-game pace was like 35, 40 points, I think his value's evident. I think a lot more people are picking up on that when you look at just how much he impacts a game.
Exactly. No, I totally agree. I think McAvoy is absolutely going to get Norris' attention. And, you know, from a points perspective, I expect him 25 to 30 in that realm, especially on that first pairing, especially with, you know, a little Lozon who's more mobile. I think that's a position with Lozon where you could easily see change. You know, you could easily see John Moore go up there. You could see Grzelcyk go up there.
Vaakanainen.
Maybe Zboril makes that big push, and he's up there. So I think there's a lot of chances. By the way, one guy we didn't mention who could be on the taxi squad or whoever is Trent Frederick, who could make a real push for that fourth line spot, because I think that would be very good, and I think that that would be very interesting. Bruins fans would love it. Bruins fans absolutely love Trent Frederick, as they should. He's a fun guy, and there's a little bit of tenacity there, so to speak. So we've done our three predictions. That is our three. If you guys have any, if you guys want to debate him, if you guys want to come at us for him or agree with us, dare I say, let us know. Definitely let us know. Now we get into the seventh player award, the breakout candidate, MVP, and where the Bruins finish. So we'll start low again. We'll start with breakout candidate, and I will let you go first because I got the first prediction. I'll let you go first. Who is your breakout candidate this year?
Yeah, I think it's, you know, there's again, as I said before, there's so many different guys who are capable of breaking out. I don't even know if it's worthy of a breakout because he's been at the NHL for a couple of years, but I think Grzelcyk's a guy who is just set up to get so many more responsibilities on his plate and probably run with it. I mean, you look at just how good he was the last couple of years on the third pairing. You know, for a guy who's, you know, everyone compares him to other smaller puck moving guys like Krug, but you look at his defensive metrics and how good he is. And it's not like he's this shutdown guy, but I think it's just the way he moves the puck, the way he hits those, you know, first passes. It just, he's so adept at getting out of danger and getting out of those taxing D zone shifts. I think is why his numbers are so great. I think he should fare well in that role with a guy like Kahlo, or if he gets pushed up to McAvoy's pairing. I think he just makes every other guy he's with better. And whether it's the added minutes and the fact that his defensive metrics should still, you know, hold firm based on kind of the way he plays, coupled with the fact that he's probably your go-to power play guy and probably is in line for a lot more points, I think he's just set up to have a breakout year. And for the Bruins, I'm sure they're going to be thrilled about that, considering they signed him to a nice 4-year contract. So I think he's my favorite for that role.
That's a great candidate. That would definitely be a pick of mine. Another pick would be Jack Stadnica for me. I think that's an easy one. But I do want to go a little different on this. I want to expand your mind. The point of this podcast is not to just run with the mainstream. It's do things a little differently.
It's so Greg my Zanin. Breakout,
Greg Zanin, yes. No, it's Lee Stempniak this year.
Okay.
But no, I it's funny. I just, because I had Stadnica written down, but for the sake of having a different answer from earlier, because Stadnica was a prediction, I'm going to say a breakout candidate's Charlie Coyle. And people are kind of like, why? He's established in the NHL, you know, he's signed to a long-term deal. Well, here's what I mean by it. He's always, you know, been that puck possession guy, very reliable, you know, fun to watch. But the points have not always been there. There are lots of times where Coyle is not scoring those points. People are kind of wondering if he's the 2C in waiting, if he's the next, you know, David Krejci, so to speak, behind, you know, Bergeron on the second line. And I think this is the year where he has to show that, yeah, I can absolutely, you know, step in and, you know, kind of replace Krejci if Krejci is to leave, you know, production-wise. You'd think this is the year that he's most set up to do it. He has Craig Smith on his right, who we both have, I think everyone has very high hopes for, and I think he will hit those hopes. And on the left side, you know, he starts with Nick Ritchie, but there's other options there. You can go with Bjork, maybe Stadnica at some point. So it seems like to me the breakout guy is Coyle. I think Coyle is really going to kind of come through with points. As, you know, obviously he's a third line center, so it's not like he's out there all the time. He's not going to have as much time on ice as, you know, Bergeron and Marchand and DeBrusk. But I think relative to the, you know, past seasons on a points per game level, not like he might have less points than last year's because there's less games, but I do think that Coyle is set for sort of that breakout year to prove that he can be that next second line center.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think especially when you, it's kind of that domino effect, but especially if Pasta's back and that first line is as expected and the second line with DeBrusk and Kasha, if they work out well, and you're just leaving these more favorable matchups for the Coyle line. Like, you saw just how much of a force they were in the run to the Cup in 2019, where they had those favorable matchups and they were dominating. Like, and it remains to be seen how Ritchie does. I think Ritchie's been pretty solid during camp, as much as I think that pains Bruins Twitter when we both tweet about, you know, the lines and stuff like that. But I think Craig Smith's going to do wonders, both in terms of scoring goals, but open up a bunch of ice for a guy like Ritchie or Coyle, who everyone knows he loves to hold on to the puck. So I think you look at kind of the matchups that they're able to get. I expect those guys to, you know, pile on, not maybe pile on the points, but be a legitimate, you know, top five, third line, you know, when you look at just kind of the numbers on how they should fare in those roles.
Nick Ritchie, 20 goals, question mark?
That would be a bold. If we won that, if you led the like podcast title with like Nick Ritchie for Rocket Richard, think we would never be able to do another podcast again.
We get canceled.
Yeah.
What's funny though is like I don't know how I feel about Nick Ritchie, because obviously we saw camp and he looked good with them, but again, it wasn't really against competition. So that's when I feel like I feel like I have to err on the side of caution there, in the sense that I don't necessarily believe he's going to be the entire season, but who knows? I mean, maybe, you know, that line works. So, you know, whatever.
He's going to score the first goal of the season too.
Yeah.
It's going to be like, not even like a greasy goal. It's going to be just like a going in wrist shot. Like, it's going to just, and everyone's going to be like, ah, people are going to be like pissed about it. Like, first game back, we have like a season final. People are going to be mad on like the first 5 minutes of the game because Nick Ritchie's scoring.
An absolute snipe, too. Like, just an absolute missile.
Top corner.
Hag's but it's, be it's doing like, dances in his living room.
It's like when poor Blackwood got, what was it, Grizzly sniped that one against the last time they were there. It's going to be one of those games.
Dangled Subban on it.
Yeah.
Dangled Subban. But At any rate, those are our breakout players. Seventh player award, I would not be surprised to see that we have the same guy. Mine is Craig Smith.
Mine was also Craig Smith, but you can talk about Craig Smith. I'll go with Grzelcyk, because I think you need to have – Craig Smith makes a lot of sense, right, where he's going to – I think he's going to be that third-line guy who's going to produce, and I think be a guy who lives up to expectations. But Grzelcyk's also from Massachusetts, and he's going to have a probably good year, which usually qualifies you, right? We look at the last two guys who've won is Chris Wagner and Charlie Coyle. We get to complete the Holy Trinity, man, of guys from the Commonwealth. We have to have Matt Grzelcyk in there.
That's true. That's true. Maybe Matt Grzelcyk, but that's also a very viable one. I'll also go Todd Angeli. Todd Angeli, getting him
in
there.
Exactly. That's true.
Has to be in there. Has to. Todd Angeli's
going
to be in
there. And if not this year, he's due for a breakout next year, right?
Yes. Like, next year's next year with too. The fans back and, you know, everyone, maybe they sing along with him. Then it's just like game over. And if he sings those Christmas carols,
there'd be tears.
There'd be tears in people's eyes. Jingle bells. But seventh player, for, obviously, as I said, Craig Smith. I think this is the most predictable one. Just given what he can bring on that third line, because obviously to be a seventh player, people kind of, you know, it's not normally a starter given it's seventh player. It's not David Pastrnak or Brad Marchand. But as we both have noted in camp, I mean, Smith has a missile. And just, you know, you look at the kind of game he plays, it fits in, especially with a guy like Coyle, it fits in with the Bruins. This is someone that I think everyone has high expectations for. And I do expect him to be getting the seventh player. That's the one on here that I would actually, like, I would put real
pencil
money
in.
On.
Yeah.
Yes.
It's going to be Greg McKegg now that you say that though. Cause like before, like they've at least have gotten the seventh player award right the last couple of years. Like you could make the case that maybe last year, like Kahlo could have deserved it as well, but like for the last couple of years before that, it was always just like the best player. It was like Marchand had it a few times. Pasta won it. Like usually, like the last couple of years, it's been kind of skewered, but it seems like guys are at least reading the room a little bit better.
Like Mitch Trubisky with the Nickelodeon player.
It was, we have to do that other segment. Who wins the MVP on this
PK
game?
PK Subban.
Oh, of course. Yeah. For the Bruins though, Greg McKegg. Greg McKegg kind of sounds like a Nickelodeon character. So.
Yeah, no, it does. I'm trying to think if there's anyone else that – like Connor Clifton would win like MVP.
Yes, MVP.
MVP. But so you said Grzelcyk, and I agree with that. I think that's very legit. Okay, so we have seventh player, we have breakout. Give me your team MVP because I think mine's a little off the board, but you go with yours.
I mean, mine's not yours will be off the board. Mine, I'm going to go the obvious pick and say Tuukka Rask because I think just the – especially this year with the defense where you don't really know exactly what you have in them, I think Rask is going to be relied on more than ever. And you could even do like, you know, 1A, 1B, because with how compressed this schedule is going to be, you need both him and Halak to kind of be on their game because – and that's why I think they're going to fare well in this East division because I think the Bruins probably still have the best tandem in net. Like there's a lot of guys – like Kata Hat is a very good goalie, but – is he going to be playing every single game? Like, you know, it's, you have to factor in some of those things. Is, Jari going to play every single game? Like, how does Samsonov do with Washington? Like, the Bruins at least have a good backup option there with Halak. But especially, you know, people, again, even though we talk about it every single time about Rask leaving the bubble, people still have it clouded that.
What?
Yeah,
what?
Yeah, exactly. But.
He's coming back?
People always kind of forget that, you know, he finished second in the Vezina last year as well. So he's still a very, very good goalie. And I think he's going to be, you know, not breaking any new ground here where I think he's still going to be a key guy that's going to be the biggest determinant of how far the Bruins go is how Tuukka Rask does. So hopefully it's a clean slate for him. And I'm sure he'll still hear it from, you know, fans on Twitter or wherever virtual means there are. But I still think as Tuukka Rask goes, so goes the Boston Bruins.
Yes, I think that's a very valuable pick, a very legitimate one, and I think it absolutely could take place. My team MVP, though, is David Krejci. And a lot of you know, people might go, what? And the truth is, you know, obviously the obvious picks on up front and kind of with the team are Bergeron and Marchand, and on the back end, it'll be McAvoy. That was kind of my secondary pick, was McAvoy kind of leading the D. But a guy like Krejci, I mean, you really think about it the past couple of years, and the Bruins have obviously been a very good defensive team and just a one-line offensive team. You know, if they got the secondary scoring, it was yippee, and it was pretty much an automatic win. But when you have just the offense coming from that top line, and if you just shut them down, everything else shut down with it, just because Krejci, as we've said a million times, didn't have a right wing. Now he's got that right wing. He's got a motivated DeBrusque on his left. Krejci looked really good in the bubble back in Toronto. Remember, playoff Krejci was the biggest thing going in the world, actually, at that time. To me, I think he's the MVP. Getting that extra scoring, getting consistent scoring out of that line is going to be huge. When Pastrnak is out, you know, in the case that Stanika does not bring Pastrnak's level of production or flops completely, which I don't think will happen, but in the case he does, you know you have stability with that second line. So to me, I think David Krejci is going to end up being the team MVP of the Bruins this year, which, and also it's contract year. Technically speaking, I mean, it, you know, some people think he might go back to the Czech. He says he's not retiring, so that's out of it, but you know, he's going to want to maximize his earnings. And with the Bruins luck, you know, he'll end up scoring, you know, 100 goals this year and is deserving, you know, is going to ask for this huge deal.
If that's the case and they're fucked, they're not signing him again. If he scores 100 goals, then unfortunately. Yes.
I don't think any team's signing him.
It'd be good because I think the Bruins would probably win the cup if your second line center is scoring 100 goals in 56 games. But bad news.
Some Wayne Gretzky shit.
Yeah, but bad news for David Krejci's future in the Bruins, because I don't think, even with some cap getting off the books next year, that they've got the means to sign a 100 goal scorer.
100 goal scorer. But truthfully, Bruins lucky would be like Krejci puts up 30 goals this year.
Yeah.
And then it's like, oh, now he wants a 4-year, like $7, $8 million a year deal. And they're just like, Don Sweeney's like, what the fuck?
That's like Ovechkin asking for like his new contract. I think like the rumored thing was he wanted like $13 million a year. And it's like, he's like 35. I'm like, that's going to
Who's going to tell him?
that's going to end badly. So,
but yes, I think Krejci is a viable candidate for MVP. And I, as you saw with my picks, I didn't want to go with like, Bergeron's going to win MVP because it's too obvious. No one wants to listen to that. They want to listen to outside the box type things. But I do think Krejci could win it. I'm not just saying that. I legitimately believe Krejci will end up being team MVP. So now finally, we are going to predict where the Bruins finish in the East. I think both of our final predictions is the Bruins lose to the Maple Leafs in the Stanley Cup in 7 games.
No, they're winning it, man. Let's switch it up. No, they're beating Toronto. They're beating Jumbo in
Stanley Cup. That would be – see, that to me would be the greatest thing in the world. And that's something we've talked about at length. I think that would be the best thing. By the way, I think if the Bruins did play the Maple Leafs in the Cup, they would win. I do. Mm-hmm. Toronto is still Toronto. I just think, you know, one of these years Toronto has to win, and somehow by hook or crook it would be in the Stanley Cup final, of course. Mm-hmm. But my prediction is I think the Bruins finish second in the East, which, by the way, you should want. Bruins fans, you should not want this team to consistently be the top point getter anywhere. You don't want that. It's been a terrible, terrible, terrible omen over this team for the past decade. Finish second to the Flyers. Have a good season. That is what I expect out of them. I expect Washington to be pretty good. I expect the Rangers to not yet compete for the cup, but still be like a hard team to play against. I expect the Islanders to be kind of in that mix. So yeah, I expect them to finish. I expect the Bruins to finish second, which is very good.
Yeah. And I was going to have them finishing second as well. I think they're in that tier right above maybe a team like Washington and Pittsburgh, but I think the Flyers are right there with them. I mean, they've got an established veteran core, but they also have 4 or 5 younger guys that should keep on getting better between Hart, as they call him outside
Hart.
Of common, Carter Hart. Now I sound like I have a brogue. but either him or Provorov or Konechny or all these guys. They've got a whole bunch
Nolan
of guys.
Nolan Patrick's coming back,
Nolan
too.
Nolan Patrick, yeah. Like, it was pretty much a lost year. So they've got a ton of guys who should take, you know, big steps, and barring a major drop off from like, you know, the Drews or some of these other guys, which I don't expect to have happen, they're still going to be a balanced team. They coached well. So I think it's going to be 1-2 with them and the Flyers for most of the year, which should be good. They'll be facing off in Lake Tahoe. That was finally made official on Monday. Should be fun to watch. So I think, yeah, that's going to be the primetime matchup, I think. And we're stuck in the same division as Gritty now, which will be interesting. So I think he had his own little podium. I don't know if you saw like their scrimmage that they had, but he had his own little like deck to himself and just danced the entire time, which seemed very physically draining. The man was dancing for the entire man or woman. We don't know. We don't know about Gritty.
Who knows?
Yeah.
No, Gritty's just Gritty. Gritty's his own gender. It's
yeah.
Gritty.
Who are we to say, right? But, Gritty was just having the time of Gritty's life. So, I'm sure there's going to be plenty more chirps and other things that more shenanigans Gritty's going to be up to whenever the Bruins show up there. I'm sure there'll be many, Brad Marchand chirps with him, you know, messing up the shootout, all that stuff. But you know what? Let's run with it, right? If Gritty's in the division, it's a good thing for all of us, right?
Gritty gives opposing teams COVID.
Yeah, I mean, that's like literally what, yeah, that would be like the hopefully they don't go that far with Gritty, you have to put
Gritty's
some,
on the bench with the water bottles, just kind of
yeah,
like,
yeah, exactly.
Right
yeah.
over the top, yeah, with like a towel full of COVID.
Gritty can only go so far, right? But we'll see. I'm sure he's going to be up to his usual shenanigans this year.
And what's funny is he has because it's Gritty, could be anything. Gritty has free reign in the stands. So Gritty can walk to behind the net. He can put up the Marchand missing the shootout. I mean, imagine the Bruins and Flyers go to a shootout in Philly and Gritty's behind the Flyers net with the picture of Marchand missing the puck. I mean, can you imagine the picture of that going on Twitter? Like that has to happen. And again, we're going to hear about that a million times, but that picture placement would be brilliant.
It'd be awesome.
It'd be awesome. I hope Gritty's listening and hears that. Gritty's been working out all offseason, just consistently working out to dance on that podium for that amount of time. But I'm excited. This is going to be a really fun year. And you can follow all of Bruins content over at Boston Sports Journal. You can follow mine over at CLNS. Subscribe to this Bruins Ringside YouTube channel because we have a lot of stuff happening over there. And for CLNS Media, I'm Evan Marinofsky. You Bruins be listeners. Have a great rest of your week.